We're going to go to Mark chapter 11, where we're finishing up our series, Faith That Moves Mountains, here today. Faith is not something that's complicated. I think we've made it complicated. We have subjects like love. We've complicated that. We have those. You go to churches, and you kind of go in, and it's kind of like a refrigerator, right? You go in, and people don't even meet or greet you. Then there are those churches that want everybody and anybody in their church. And so they compromise to have people in their church. Sometimes we compromise in the area of grace. There are those that are bound by works rather than grace. And there are those that Paul warned and said, we do not what sin so that grace abounds, right? And so there are those that take liberty with their walk with Christ and assume that, hey, if I do it, he's going to forgive me. And faith is one of those things we've also complicated. We've kind of made it difficult. Jesus said, come to me, what, like a little child. Why have we complicated it? Why have we made it so hard? You know, we don't have to have a 16-part series. We don't have to have, right? We don't have to read 10 different books, right? It's something that Jesus said. It's simple. We just believe it, just like a child. So with that in mind, I just want you to go into this meeting here today. At the end, we are going to pray. And there are some mountains in our lives. And today, I'm just going to challenge you to identify those mountains in your life. And I want you to pray. We're going to call people forward. We want to have people lay hands on you. I don't know about you, but the Farkases have some mountains in their life right now. Some of you know about what we're going through in our personal life. And we appreciate any prayers that you'll send our way. And I know there are others that are going through similar things in this body, but there are others that are going through other things as well. And so I want to start in Mark chapter 11. I want to start with verse 20. Remember, Jesus cursed the fig tree the day before. His disciples heard him say it. And now it's the next morning in verse 20. It says, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I want you to understand that statement. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Notice he says it twice here in verse 23 and 24. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you for your offenses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your offenses. So we're not going to dwell on that too much here this morning, but how many know that we need to walk in grace with other people? And it does affect your prayer life. If you're not walking in unity with others, it will affect how God can use your life. There's a saying out there that says you can't see the forest for the trees. Basically, that means that you're focused on the details and you miss the big picture. Most of you, some of you have driven through the United States. You have traveled. You've gone through maybe the Appalachian Mountains. Maybe if you've gone down to Arkansas, Oklahoma, all those, that area, you get run into the Ozarks. You go up to New York and you run into the, I don't know how to pronounce it, mountains. But that's all part of the Appalachian Trail. If you've been out west, you've seen the Rocky Mountains. And I've been all over the country, really, in a lot of different places. And so as we were driving, you see one mountain. How many knows that one mountain begins to look like another mountain? And as you're driving, you're kind of just observing. You're just looking, taking in the sights. And little do we think about the name of those mountains. If you get a topo map, you'll see that each one of those mountains have a name. But as we're driving through them, we really don't remember those names. There's a few mountains I remember. Karen lives in New Mexico, and there's some pretty big mountains. And right off the back porch of her dad's place, there was a mountain called Turtleback Mountain. It was It looked like a turtle sitting on top of the mountain. And so you go and look to the right, you'd see another mountain change above Kabaya Lake. I have no idea what the name of that mountain is. And so that kind of proves my point here. We know certain names because they mean something to us, but there are others that do not. And so as I was driving, as we've driven through these mountains, they've had little impact on my life. They mean really nothing to me. But like driving through the mountains, people all around me are facing mountains with little effect on me. And so as we're sitting here today, you may not know somebody in this room. They may be going through something. Since you don't know them, it really doesn't affect you too much. When you go to the store and you're going there and you're seeing people in the store and you go through the cashier, it doesn't really affect you what they're going through in their life. Today, some of you may be sitting in a restaurant after the church service today. And you know something? The mountains in those lives will not have effect on those people that are in that restaurant with you. Doesn't mean a whole lot to you because you don't know them. Mountains take on a significance when they appear on our own horizons or those close to us. And so that's the beauty of the church, right? Is that we can come and we can share what's going on in our life. And because of that, what we begin to engage with what's going on in their lives. So we give names to these mountains, these things that we're going through in life. Sometimes it's called sickness. Many of you have faced death. Individuals in your families, friends have passed away this past year or the last 2 years. There's financial debt. It doesn't matter how secure you are at times, or if you're living within your budget. How many know there are times in your life that some things come up that you just don't have in your bank account? So there are some financial situations that may arise. There's some addictions. There's sin. So there's things that we can begin here this morning to name this morning. Like the physical mountains, we cannot deny the symbolic mountains that we call trials, tribulations, and problems. And sitting here today, if we're going to label them, deny that they are in our life, it's foolish to do that in the name of faith. If my mountain doesn't have a name, how can it be cast into the sea? When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he called one name, didn't he? Lazarus, come forth. He didn't just say, come forth, right? Who knows what would have happened? Amen. But he was specific, right? He named the individual he wanted to come out of that grave. So the very first thing we do before we receive salvation is confession, right? Hopefully you came to the knowledge that you were a sinner. The Bible says what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none that have done right. No, not one. We come to that understanding. We make that confession. We do the ABCs. We admit. We believe. We confess, right? When I came to Jesus in prayer, I came because I knew a need was in my life. I needed to be forgiven. I needed Jesus as my Lord and Savior in my life. I named that name. I named that mountain at that time. That mountain was sin in my life. So when we confess that something is a mountain, what we're basically stating here this morning is that it is bigger than me and beyond my capabilities. That's what a mountain is. It means I need God's help. And Jesus began his dialogue with his disciples when they noticed the withered tree. The first thing he says is, have faith in God. That word in is important here this morning. In. It's not what you know here this morning. It's who you know. Do you understand that? We can have all the understanding of the scriptures. We can spend hours and hours in prayer believing and asking God. But how many know it's not what we know? It's who we know. How many know the scripture points to Jesus? When we pray, who are we praying to? Jesus. And so we come here this morning. Jesus said, have faith in God. See, Jesus was saying there's something greater here than just cursing the fig tree. They had their eyes on this tree, and he said, there's something greater going on here, guys. And last week we read out of Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. This is a parallel rendition of this story we find here in Mark. It says, then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if there's a condition, there's a condition to us praying. If you have faith, and how many know the faith has to be placed, faith is placed in something or someone, right? If you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. So he's saying here, we're not going around cursing fig trees. It's not the objective here this morning. But he's saying, if you have faith and do not doubt that there are going to be some mountains here, it goes on and says, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. It will happen. You know, I might get in trouble by saying this here this morning, but that's okay. You know, a lot of times as Pentecostals, I think we make ourselves look foolish in the eyes of unbelievers. I believe we look sometimes foolish in the eyes of believers, maybe of others that don't agree basically how we agree. There is such a thing as denying reality. Folks, if we have a problem, we have a problem, right? If I broke my leg here this morning and I'm walking around and I'm saying, my leg's not broken, my leg's not broken, does it make it true? No, my leg's broken. If I'm diagnosed with cancer, which we've had some in our body here, they have cancer. If there's an addiction in your life, folks, it's not a disease, it's an addiction. We have to admit it. If I need money to pay a bill I don't have, guess what? I'm going to say, hey, I have a need. I need money to pay this bill. So I think we've come to this place is we've become afraid that if we name it, we claim it. That if we name the problem, all of a sudden we're claiming it. No, we're just identifying it. We're just identifying it. I need a savior because I needed saved. And if I need a healing in my body, guess what? I need a healer. If I need something in my life, I need a provider. By saying I have a need doesn't mean I lack faith. It's just identifying that there is a need in my life. It's a reality. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have troubles, tribulations. And you can define that any direction you want here this morning. Because we know what tribulation, we know what trials are. There are things that we face. There are things that we go through. There are things that we need a Savior for. Jesus is a Savior, not just of our physical, of our spiritual. He's our Savior of everything and anything that we're going through in life. See, God can change any one of those circumstances that I mentioned earlier. He can change those mountains if we have faith in God. This morning, I will confess I have some mountains in our life. I told you at the beginning here, we're going through some things. And I'm going to identify it because I want you to pray for me. And if you want me to pray for you, I've got to know what it is that I'm praying for. Why do you think when we come up and have people come up, we ask them what they're praying about? Because they may be praying about one thing, and if we don't ask him, we're going to be praying about something totally different. The Bible says when we pray in accord, when two or three, what, agree, and the only way we can agree is if we know what the situation is, what the problem is. So I'm going to confess my mouth. If I'm sick, I will tell you that I'm sick. There's multiple times that I've told you, pray for me as I'm standing behind the pulpit because I'm not feeling well. There are times when I struggle preaching. Some of you say, oh, you're doing okay. But how many know it's something that I'm feeling, that's something I need at that moment? I'm going to confess my mountains. How can I give a testimony of God's power if I don't confess there has ever been a problem? Right? We testify what God delivered us from, when he saved us from. Right? So, folks, we need to be truthful. We need to be, it needs to be reality in our life. If I'm having a problem, state the problem. It doesn't mean I'm claiming it. It's just stating a reality in my life. And that I need a savior. I need someone to change it. Folks, we deny the problem sometimes in the name of faith or positive confession. Prayer time is built into our church service, usually twice. We usually pray after the worship, and we pray after the preaching of the word, in case there is something that the Holy Spirit is dealing with or something that you need an answer for. I love Philippians 4:6. You know this scripture. Don't worry about. Instead, pray about. All right. Don't worry about anything. What are you going? What's your need here this morning? Pray about it, right? Pray about everything. Folks, I don't come to the altar and say, Lord, you know, I need everything. No, I come to an altar because there's something in my life that I need from him. Because if you continue on, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It says, tell God what you need. Tell him what you need. He already knows what you need. We as the body of Christ might not know what you need, but he knows what you need, and thank him for all that he has done. So let's get back to the text here. In verse 23, it says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. So this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. This is what I believe that Jesus is saying to us. Because he's saying, truly I say to you, he's talking to his disciples. And then he widens it open for all of us and says, whoever. Aren't you glad he included us in what he's about to say? He says, whoever. He opened the door for us, and he said, anyone who says to this mountain, this chair, this pulpit, it's specific. This mountain. Some of us have this mountains in our life, and we're not breaking through. We're not seeing the answer. This mountain, it's specific. When we come to the Lord, how many know we need to come specifically telling him what we need? So he says, what? When we ask what, we need to come with what? Expectation, right? If I'm sick, I want to be healed. If I need some money, Lord, I need some money. It's specific. If you read John, read John 15, 16, 14, 15, and 16. He repeatedly says for us to ask. Chapter 14, verse 13, 14. You can ask for what? Anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, he repeats it there in verse 14. Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We jump to John 15:7. He's repeating himself over and over again because he's going to the cross. And he's telling his disciples, hey guys, you're going to be going through some things. There's going to be some mountains in your path. And you need, to have faith in God. He says in 15:7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you. How many know that's important? That we remain in relationship with him and we know the word of God. They need to remain in us. We need to know it. And you may what? Ask for anything. How do you know what to ask for if you don't know what his word says? What his promises are? You may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Using what? My name. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Use my name. John 16. At that time, you won't need to ask me, Jesus is saying this, for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Because my word abides in you, and you abide in me. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have what? Abundant joy. I wonder if that's why why we're not experiencing joy in the church, because we're not having answered prayer. Maybe because we're not praying. Just a question. So that was verse 23, but Jesus repeats it almost verbatim here in chapter 20, in verse 24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, this is the same thing as saying, believe that you receive them and they will be granted to you. This is some powerful words. And it's simple. Jesus says, as you abide in me, he said, have faith in God, have faith in me, right? We're in relationship with him. We know his word. We know his promises. That we can begin to speak to some of these big things that are happening in our mouth called mountains, and they will be cast into the sea. All things for which you pray and ask and say, believe, have faith in God. I like this word here. It's not found in the original Greek, but it's been translated that way. Twice Jesus says in verse 23 and 24, that it will be granted to you. We need to understand that word, granted. The definition of granted means to agree, to give or allow something requested. To give a right, power, property, etc., formally or legally, to. Let me know what John 1:12 says. We believe in him and accept him. He has given us the what? The power, the authority, or right to be what? Called the children of God. We've been granted that position through Jesus Christ. Our neighbor came up about a month ago, and I posted the land around here, around the church. We had a couple scary events happening during rifle season, and so I posted the land. And he came up and was really friendly, and we began to talk, and he asked me, could he hunt on the church property? Because our property goes clear down to the plaza. And so I said yes. What was I doing? I was granting him permission to hunt on our land, even though it was posted, even though no one else is allowed to do it. I granted him permission to do it. And so here today, we need to realize today that we have been granted the ability through Jesus Christ to say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea. There are a lot of events that happen in the mountains. In the Gospels. Can you name something that happened in the mountains, real quick? Sermon on the Mountain? Yeah. Mount Trigger, Mount Transfiguration. We have Golgotha was considered a mountain. We're staying in the Gospels here. Where did Jesus often go to pray? In the mountains, okay? When we look at the sea, what events took part around the sea? What some big things? Yeah, just stick with the Gospels, Jesus' ministry. Peter walked on the water. Okay, right? Pigs ran down into the sea. It was right by the sea, right? Jesus calmed the sea. There's the miracles of what? Catching the fish. There's two of them. Coin in the mouth. All right. So it's. I was just kind of thinking the correlation here that the mountains need to meet the sea. Because Jesus went up on the mountain. What was he doing? He was preparing himself what to face the problems. All right? Isn't that where we go to prayer the most, is when we're facing problems? But near the sea, as they came off the mountain, there's not a whole lot of miracles that took place on the mountain. They took place when he came down off the mountain. How many know we don't live on the mountain? We like to visit the mountain. But the mountain needs to meet the sea. Because the mountain represents our problems, because we go to prayer to face those problems, but the provision is what? Provided at the sea. So take that for what it's worth here this morning. But that word granted means to be, exist, occur. It means am. And how many know that Jesus often used the word am and he put an I in front of it? So he is our provision today. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am with you. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am a king. I am the resurrection. Over and over again, Jesus wants to what? Provide for you. And we heard it this morning that the promises of God are what? Yes. And amen in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. So if you'll come and play. What we want to do is go from the problems to provision. And Jesus showed us how. So he shows us in this scripture what he has provided for us here in Mark 11. First thing he says is have faith in God. Not in our abilities, not in our faith, not in our knowledge, not in what we know, but in God. It's not what, but it's who. It's being connected. Secondly, he told us we need to identify our mountain. And this morning, I'm just encouraging you this morning, if you're here today and you're going through some things, you're facing some things, identify that mountain here this morning. What is it that you just can't get past? It's there. It's in your path. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's a friend. Can you identify that mountain here today? And I want to encourage you here today, begin speaking the words of Jesus over those mountains. We heard the words say and to pray and to ask. And how many know that it takes humility to ask? We don't like to ask people for help. Some of you don't even like to ask people for prayer. Sometimes it's very hard. It's humbling. But today is that time when we come and we pray and we ask that this mountain be removed and cast into the sea. We are called not only to speak, but to believe. To believe in our heart that God is the one who can move those mountains in our life. Jesus said, it will be granted unto you. He wants to give it to us more than what we want to receive it. So we're not going to bow heads here this morning. I'm going to ask you, if you're in this house today, and there are some mountains that or a mountain this morning that needs to be moved in your life, I'm going to ask you to just move forward here this morning. I'm asking you to label it this morning. Put a name to it. We're not claiming it. It's just reality. But we want to have a testimony here this morning of what God has done for us and how He has worked in our hearts. I'm asking you to hear today if you'll pray for our family. Pray for my wife. It has to do with our daughter. And many of you know here this morning that our kids, when they're hurting, we hurt. Anybody else, today is the day. Name that mountain. Take a step of faith to Him. Can you begin to say, whatever it is, whatever that need is here this morning, and you think of some scriptures that you can apply to that here this morning, whatever that need may be, because they're His promises, it's His word. It's Him speaking. I'm going to ask, saints, I'm going to ask you to come up and I want you to lay hands on some people here today. We need somebody with everybody here this morning. And I want you to ask them what it is they need here this morning. What's that mountain that they're facing? Come on, saints, we shouldn't even have to think about it here today. Hallelujah. And if you didn't come up and you know there's mountains in your life, I'm asking you to pray where you're at here this morning. Don't walk out facing that same mountain without identifying it and dealing with it.